Today's message rises out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 11 to 24. The scripture says the following. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." This is the word of the Lord. After the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus took some time to look around the temple. Then he and the 12 decided to spend the evening in Bethany. And Bethany was only a couple of miles away. Very likely, Jesus spent that night at the home of his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The next morning, he and the disciples returned to Jerusalem, wanting to go back to the temple. It was on the way that Jesus became hungry. He saw this fig tree at a distance, and reaching it, he found nothing but leaves. He said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." It's kind of a puzzling and harsh rebuke, but nevertheless said to that tree. When they got to Jerusalem and the temple, Jesus didn't get less harsh. Soon after he arrived, he was overturning furniture and chasing out money changers. He was having quite a time with tables and trees. This was not the Jesus we were used to seeing. But out of this aggressiveness, two lessons stand out. Number one, have faith in God. Number two, produce the fruit of God. It might be helpful to visualize the Jerusalem temple where Jesus had this dramatic encounter. The temple covered about 30 acres on top of Mount Zion. The outer court was called the Court of the Gentiles. Gentiles could enter that court, but could not enter any of the inner courts. The next court in was the court of women. Women were allowed in that courtyard, but unless they were coming in to worship, bringing a sacrifice, they were not allowed in any farther. The next court in was the court of Israelites, and it was there that the congregation gathered for worship, and it was there that sacrifices were handed to the priest. Then inside that court was the court of priests, That center section of the temple surrounded the Holy of Holies. Well, it was in the court of Gentiles that Jesus had the encounter with those at the tables. The Israelites were required to pay an annual temple tax, and it was there that it was to be paid. The priest set up a rule that the tax was to be paid in a particular local currency, the shekel. As different currencies were brought from different parts of the land, they required being changed. So currency exchange tables were set up so money could be changed into shekels. Well, for a fee, that money could be changed, and often an exorbitant fee. They charged so much that that's why Jesus called it robbery. There was more that made Jesus angry. In those days, Jewish worship involved a ritual of sacrifices. They used animals and birds, often doves, for such a sacrifice. And they were to be, as it was described, without blemish. If a sacrifice had a blemish, a fault of some kind. And temple inspectors, yes, they had temple inspectors. And if temple inspectors found fault with sacrifices, and they seemed to find fault with most sacrifices, then one could buy an approved sacrifice in the temple, again for a price, and most often an exorbitant price. Furthermore, I think Jesus was additionally upset because Gentiles were not allowed to go into the inner courts for worship. I think that's why he said, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." All nations. Well, seeing all of this, no wonder Jesus felt compelled to clean house and chase the money changers out of the temple, turning over their tables and benches in the process. With this action, Jesus was saying, "This is supposed to be a place for declaring faith in God. Instead, you have turned it into a dishonest, money-worshipping, religious business." This actually is a great example of how religious can become an enemy of faith. Religion can become an enemy of faith. Without God, the people were left with man-made rules, empty rituals, temple inspectors, corruption. What happened to the temple being a place to meet God and cultivate faith? What happened to the house of prayer, a place of forgiveness, a place of acceptance, a place of life, spiritual life? When one gets on an airplane, as many of us have, and settles in for the flight, usually this announcement is made. In the unlikely event of the loss of cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will drop in front of you. Please place that mask securely over your nose, tightening it firmly to release the flow of oxygen. If you are traveling with a child, be sure to put the mask on yourself first, and then one on the child's face. When Jesus came to the Jerusalem temple, he discovered that what the temple was missing was God's lifeline dropped down from above. Jesus Christ was the oxygen of God for people, the breath of life. Without accepting the life of Christ, the temple was left with a lifeless organization. May we at First Presbyterian Church of Garden Grove never become merely a godless religious organization, but always be a family of faith and life, a life that we received dropped from above. In the name of Jesus Christ. Well, we are being taught here in Scripture that we are to have faith in God, but we are also being taught here that we're to produce the fruit of God. This fig tree incident, it can be a puzzling one. Yes, Jesus was hungry, and he sought fruit to eat. The Bible tells us that figs were out of season, so we wonder why he was so unreasonable in his discovery. All he sees is mature leaves, but no figs. And he curses the tree. So what's his problem here? Is he grumpy because he didn't get breakfast? Is there a reason he's so testy and so unreasonable and seemingly so selfish with regard to wanting some food? That's not the Jesus we're used to seeing. And it doesn't make sense. Every place else in Scripture, Jesus is never unreasonable. There's always reason to what he does and what he thinks. Holy reason. He's never selfish. He's never grumpy. The only time we've seen Jesus angry is when he encounters sinfulness and what that sinfulness does to people. When he encounters unrighteousness and what that unrighteousness does to people. So it isn't that is the lesson here, that we finally find a grumpy Jesus. This was an opportunity for an object lesson, a very important object lesson. So using the tree as an example, he talks about the condition of Israel. And through the Scripture, he talks perhaps of the condition of some of the religions of our day. He describes the organization, in some senses, as simply a pile of leaves. There's no fruit. There's a lot of style, but no substance. There's a lot of activity, but no eternal results, no fruit, no producing of life. Church organizations can be dead, like the withered tree. And what God wants from the family of God is spiritual fruit. There's a place in Scripture in Galatians 5:22, where we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." The Bible says that by their fruit, people will recognize the godly. There's a story told about a time when Holiday Inn was opening up a new inn. They had 500 job opportunities of a variety of kinds. They interviewed 5,000 people. I was fascinated by the criteria by which they chose the people to hire. Let me tell you one of their major requirements. They decided that if the person they were interviewing did not naturally smile 4 times during the interview, they were not hiring them. It didn't matter which job they were interviewing for, if they didn't smile at least 4 times, they were not hired. Because they wanted people who were naturally friendly and let that quality leak onto their face, showing up in a smile. The smile was the fruit of a warm, friendly heart. And that's the quality that they were looking for. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, those qualities we just read about from Galatians, is a result of a heart that is filled by the Holy Spirit, that is touched by God's Spirit, that is changed by God's Spirit. Those qualities flow out of a godliness in residence within us. And that's what Jesus is saying. He is saying that We are to be a people who have faith in God and a people who produce fruit, the fruit of God that rises from the soul and expresses itself in our whole lifestyle. May God teach us, empower us, guide us by enriching our faith and filling us with His qualities of character, the fruit of His Spirit, so that others may see a revelation of His truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen.